Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, it's Natalia, and welcome back to Unfiltered Fashion Talks. It has been a literal year since I last recorded for the podcast. And that was really unintentional of me to do. I didn't decide to just stop the podcast because I didn't want to do it anymore. I just really overwhelmed myself last year with work and didn't know how to balance it all. So I ended up having to, you know, cut corners and cut some things out. And unfortunately, the podcast was one of those because I don't really make money off the podcast. It's really just something I enjoy doing and I love sharing with you guys. But obviously, I had to count the costs of everything, and that was the first to go. But I really want to bring it back this year. Obviously, if you're watching this right now, you would have noticed that I re-uploaded all of my podcast videos to my main channel and I deleted the Unfiltered Fashion Talks channel. Part of me, when I first started Unfiltered Fashion Talks, really wanted to have it separate so that people would like see it and not particularly associate it with me. And part of me wanted to just see how much it could grow without me putting like myself behind it, if that made sense, and kind of just like on a standalone. But also, I realized that I just need to stop trying to do that and use myself as an advantage and just put it on my normal channel. I don't think it's that deep. Part of me also just didn't want it to look like it was out of order, out of date, whatever. And again, I just need to remember it's not that deep. It really isn't. So I've transferred everything over to my main channel now, and this is where my podcast is going to live. I think also because the podcast is centered around fashion, it's in the name, but part of me also wants to make it a bit more personal, and I do think it has been personal in a lot of ways, but I feel it's best to make it personal if it lives on my main channel for whatever reason. So all that to say is that Unfiltered Fashion Talks is back. I don't know how consistent I can really be with it. I do still want it to just be like a for fun thing for me. And I don't want to put too much pressure on it because I do think when I like force myself to post weekly, sometimes the episodes aren't as good as I want them to be because I'm just like forcing content out of myself versus recording when I have something to say or when I really have a great idea or a great guest or whatever. I do want to bring guests back at some point, but I just don't want to do a studio. I did it for a couple of episodes at the beginning of last year, and it was really nice to film in a studio. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely loved it, but obviously it is an extra expense that I just like can't really justify right now. So I'm going to try to figure out a way to have guests here at my place somehow. I don't have an extra mic, so I'm going to need that and just need to figure out a good setup, but I think that might be the route eventually. But for now, you get a little solo episode from me. And since I haven't recorded since last year, we've got quite a lot to actually update on. So where do I even begin? Obviously, if you're watching this, it's on my main channel, so you probably watch my vlogs and you've been updated with everything I've been doing. But I feel like I haven't given like a full deep dive of what my past year has really looked like. So the last time I really spoke on the podcast was probably around like January or early February of last year. I think that's when I recorded all my episodes. I think I posted them later, but I think I recorded around that time. So I was just starting to do all of the Eras Tour outfits and just beginning with that whole process. And last year, I really took on a lot of custom orders, more than I probably should have in some cases, and just wasn't charging enough for it, even though I felt like I was charging a lot. So I've learned a lot through that process, One of those things was that I need to learn how to balance my time better because I can't say yes to everything and do absolutely everything, even though sometimes you do have to do that to grow and get to where you want to be. But I think there's like a fine line between saying yes to everything for the sake of the opportunity and also learning to say no to certain things so that you have the capacity to do everything that you need to do. And I think for me last year, when I said yes to every custom order, it was kind of out of necessity because the few months prior to that, right when I had moved to LA, business was really slow for me. I picked up a few random like part-time jobs, but nothing was really sticking too much. Because realistically, when I applied to jobs, I applied pretty much freelance or like on contract. So not really as like a full employee, if that makes sense, because I was applying to social media jobs with a lot of smaller businesses that were either starting off or trying to figure out what their social media vibe was going to be. And what happens with a lot of those businesses is that they hire somebody for socials. It is an expensive thing to do. They don't see results right away. And then they are like, oh, actually, like, let's cut down your time or let's cut down your pay or let's just actually halt this for now. And it's what's happened to me like 3 times already. So it was nice to have that money when I had it, but it's not like consistent enough of a job, which was really frustrating. So I wasn't doing great there. And when all this influx of custom orders came in, I was like, oh, like this is what I need to be doing. So I said yes to, I think, pretty much everything that came my way. And I started by charging, I think, honestly, like $300 to $400 for most custom orders at the beginning of all of this, which sounds like a lot of money if you're saying like, oh, I paid $400 for this dress. But also when it's a custom made garment, $400 really doesn't go that far. And now I've learned that $500 is my minimum for what a custom order should be, just because factoring in the time of talking to a client back and forth, figuring out the fabrics, sometimes I ship back and forth for like fit and stuff, or just simply like material costs. I didn't realize how expensive some of these materials would be for some of the Taylor Swift recreations I've done, but some sequins can be really expensive. A lot of trims are really expensive. I never really work with trims too much until I started doing all of this. And I realized that when you do a fully fringe outfit, you can easily spend hundreds on just the fringe alone. So needless to say, I have learned a lot throughout this past year, but I feel like I'm in a much better place right now and in a much like healthier relationship with custom orders and work and balancing it all. Another update from me is that I actually have 2 extra jobs right now, and I've never been happier to have extra jobs. I have mentioned it on my like channel and my vlogs, if you watch my vlogs, but I love being self-employed, love having my own business, but I do think being in a creative business, it's really hard to kind of solely rely on that for income, if that makes sense. I feel like my creativity just like plummets because I have to rely on it for income, and I get really stressed about it, and I hate just having to pump out clothing when that's not really what I want to be doing. Like, yes, I want to make clothing, but I want to do it in a purposeful way and not just to make money, even though obviously I do want it to make money, but I don't want that to be like the sole purpose of me making clothing. And it just gets really frustrating every single month to try to only make it by with like YouTube money and business money, because realistically I really don't get that many sponsors at all because I'm so incredibly picky with who I work with. I only want to work with brands that I would actually use and I would actually want to promote, and obviously brands that are ethical and sustainable and match my values, which is very few brands. So I don't really get sponsored content too much. So truly all my money from YouTube is just AdSense, which honestly is not as much as you would think. So I get really stressed month to month trying to make it by, and I've been able to scrape by every single month, but I just hate that feeling every month of I don't know if I'm gonna make it or not. So I have been looking for jobs since November, and I just kind of wanted some like extra part-time remote gig that could be kind of a security blanket for me and be something that I can be like, okay, at least I can count on X amount of money per month. Because realistically, though I do have an average amount that I make with my business and with YouTube and whatever, it can vary so much. And that's the stressful bit for me. So I kind of wanted something that would be like a nice cushion that I can lean on and just be like, well, I know at least I'm getting this much every month. So the first job that I got actually kind of just came to me. I didn't really ask for it, which is really funny. But I have been like collaborating with Teleport since April of last year. And Teleport is a thrifting app like Depop or Poshmark, but it's more video based. So it's like a TikTok XD Pop kind of app. It's a really, really cool app. And Danielle, who's the CEO of it, was a sponsor of my fashion show that I hosted in LA in April of last year. And she was also on the panel that I hosted for that same event. And we've just kept in contact ever since. And then she reached out to me in October saying that she was planning an event in LA in November. And she is not based in LA, and neither is like the other team member that she has for Teleport. So she asked me if I could help out with it since I am LA based. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm happy to help. So I helped out with their like launch event here in LA, which was so much fun. And I had mentioned to Danielle, I was like, hey, you know, I am actually looking for other jobs, whatever. I just like to be transparent with people about how my life really is. I don't like to pretend that I'm doing like fantastic at all times. And I say this with caution because I am doing really well. And if I was making the amount that I make anywhere else in the US that was not like LA or New York or Miami or like a big city, I would be so well off. Like, I would be so good. But because I do live by myself in LA, that's why it's so expensive for me. And though I could make it by with what I make and how I've been doing the past few months, I just prefer to have something extra so that I can also just enjoy my life and go do other things and be able to like go out to eat and go on trips and do the fun things that I also want to do. So I want to preface that because I feel so weird sometimes being like, oh, like I am not making enough, but like I am. Just like LA is very expensive and I would like the extra income, if that makes sense. Anyway, I was telling this to Danielle because, again, I just like to be honest about kind of where I'm at with things. And she, a few weeks later, messaged me and she was like, hey, we actually are thinking of hiring a community manager for Teleport. We'd love to give you the role. Like, we loved you at the event and I feel like you'd be a really great fit for this. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, count me in. So I've been working as an official community manager for Teleport since December, which has been so much fun. Basically, Teleport has ambassadors that they work with every single month to post videos and kind of promote Teleport. So I am kind of just the person that they kind of go to for everything that they need. So I check in with them about their videos. I check in about analytics. I track all the data and I'm basically just a spreadsheet girly, which is my favorite thing ever. So it's been really, really fun and really cool to also kind of work with a startup and see the back end of it because Teleport is so small. It quite literally is Danielle. And then we have a growth manager and then we have me. So that's literally it. And of course they have, you know, their engineers and people that are developing the app, but they aren't like full-time with Teleport. So like full-time people is just us three, which is just like so cool to see that something so like big. Like, I just feel like an app is so big to me. I don't know why. Can be run by just like very few people and can be so small, yet so good and so cool. So anyway, I've been working with them since December, which has been really fun, and they are trying to host events in LA a lot more frequently, so every time that they host an event, obviously I help out a lot more with that since I'm their LA kind of like base. So that's been really fun. And then I've been looking for an extra job on top of that because this particular job isn't actually full-time. It's kind of part-time, but even less than part-time, just because there really isn't too much to be doing every single day. So I've been looking for an extra one to just kind of add to it. And I applied to, I kid you not, 70 jobs probably on like Indeed and LinkedIn and through just like emailing people, whatever. And the way like basically nobody got back to me was so frustrating. It was like 3 months of me just applying to so many jobs and I was so defeated. And then Danielle, who is the CEO of Teleport, actually had been sending me a bunch of job listings that she kept seeing. And she sent me one that she found on Twitter from a mutual friend of hers. And it was to help kind of edit and do social media for a podcast. So I applied to that one because I was like, well, I've had a podcast. I've done socials for it. I know how that works. I have a good social background and a lot to show for it. So I was like, maybe this will actually work for me. And lucky enough, they actually did like me, had a few interviews with them, and I got hired. So I'm really excited to start that. I actually am starting next week, so I haven't officially started. But by the time you see this, I would have been probably a couple months in because I think I'm recording this on February 8th right now. And I'm sure this podcast might actually literally go up in May because I'm backlogging like all of my old ones and I'm posting, I think, 3 old ones a week, but I have like 40 episodes. So I think by the time I'm done uploading every single, like, UFT episode, it's gonna be May. This might be, like, a blast from the past by the time I see this, but anyway, I'm really excited about that too. And again, I just feel like the older I get, the more I crave stability, which is something I never thought I would say because I am somebody who ups and moves all the time and I like to be everywhere and nowhere and just like, I don't know, I feel like I move around a lot and I've never been one to be super stable. But I do think that the older I get, the more stability I want. And I think financially, especially because I am 24 now, and in the US, by the time you hit 26, you can't be on your parents' healthcare anymore and you have to do it for yourself. That's a big one that I am constantly thinking of because it really gives me like under 2 years at this point to kind of get my shit together so that I can then be able to afford my own healthcare, which is going to be a whole other thing because obviously, even though I'm working for people, I'm still kind of like a contractor for people. So I'm not under any sort of benefits or anything. Like I'm going to have to figure that out for myself, which is fine. But it's just like an extra stressor. So I think, again, the older I get, the more I have to think about these things, the more I'm like, you know what, maybe a little stability here and there wouldn't hurt. And it's so funny because I was talking about this to a friend the other day and I was like, I love traveling. I've always thought I would live in Europe for a little bit when I was older because I have my dual citizenship, so I really could just up and move. But the more I like really think about it, the more I'm like, ugh, I don't want to leave LA. I don't want to leave the friends that I have. I don't want to start over, even though I feel like a couple years ago, if you would have asked me, I would have like done it in a heartbeat. But I do just feel like the older I get, the more I just want like stability and the more I want to just like settle in a place. I still want to travel and do all the things, but I love having a home base. And I think this is the longest I've lived in a singular place for the past like 5 or 6 years of my life, because when I was 18 and graduated high school, I moved to Italy for school. The next year I moved to New York for school. The next year I moved back to Indiana because COVID. And then the year after that I moved into my own place in Indiana. And then the year after that I moved to LA. And now I've been in this apartment for 2 years by the time you see this, if it's May, which is crazy. And again, the longest I've been in one single place in so long. So I don't know. I think I'm just starting to feel very at home here and I don't want to move around, which is just crazy because I never thought I would say that. But here we are, you know, things do change, apparently. I also think it is crazy for me to be so like open about having a job and extra jobs because I think for the longest time I also held back from it because I felt like I was a failure to my own business and everything that I've been working for if I got another job. Because then it's like, oh, well, you're not solely relying on that. So are you really just self-employed? Are you really just like a small business owner? And for whatever reason, I just like didn't want people to view me that way. And I think in a lot of ways, it's like internal. But I also think that because I've always taken kind of a non-traditional route with a lot of things and I, you know, decided to study fashion design, which a lot of people look down on me for just because it's non-traditional. That was kind of a starting point. And then when I graduated college, I decided to start my own business instead of like working for someone, which also was very situational. But again, lots of people looked down on me for that. And just everybody questioned my path for a really long time because again, non-traditional, like you don't know how it's gonna go. It's not guaranteed success, blah, blah, blah. And throughout the years, I feel like I have finally reached like a level of success and people finally view me as successful being able to live in LA by myself, running my own business, that now if I like got a job, I felt like people would look down on me and be like, see, like I knew you wouldn't make it, like you needed an extra job, like you can't just get by on what you're doing. And I feel like that held me back for so long. Because again, I just want to be viewed as successful, which again is so internal. I don't think it's that deep, but I've always been an overachiever and I've always kind of wanted people to see me as successful because I just feel like as a woman in arts, you just are never viewed in the same way. And I think because I grew up around so many people that went into STEM majors or engineers or whatever, I always felt like I had to work twice as hard to get the same recognition that they want. And even though the recognition from the people that I'm thinking of doesn't really matter as much as the recognition from, say, like my parents, my family, my friends that I've always had from them, I don't know why I've always felt in the back of my head like I need to prove myself to all these people that don't really matter. But I feel like that was honestly what held me back for so long on wanting to like share my updates on kind of getting a job or looking for a job or whatever. But I've decided that it's not that deep. It doesn't matter. I am successful because success is whatever you want to make of it, not what other people tell you it is. And at the end of the day, I'm living my best life. I love my life. I love LA. I love the extra jobs that I have. I love the people I get to work with. I love all the experiences I'm having. I love all that I'm learning from it. I love being needed in a job. I love being purposeful to somebody else, not just myself. And it's actually been a really great just learning experience overall. And I think it is also helpful to my like weird anxieties about having to prove myself to people. I don't know if that's like a common thing for people or if that's like just me, but yeah, sharing that tidbit because I know that I'm not the only one that's just like fearing failure at all times. And speaking of extra jobs and extra things, I have also just realized that I love making clothing so much. I love custom orders. I love working with clients. I love doing that. And I don't want to ever have to take away from that. So I want to keep doing it. I want to keep doing custom pieces. And I think I'm going to lean into releasing more digital patterns and doing a lot more tutorials and stuff like that, because realistically that generates so much more money than custom orders ever will, because I'd have to charge so much for custom orders and like the time it takes me for it to even be equivalent to how much I could make off like a digital pattern or tutorials or whatever. And I just like don't want to overcharge for custom orders. Obviously I'm charging a lot for them already, just having a minimum of 500, just because that is a lot of money to an average person, but I don't want it to be so excessive that it becomes incredibly inaccessible. So I think the only way for me to fight that is to obviously make money elsewhere and kind of do it as, yes, my main gig, but also in a more like fun way rather than like this is what I rely on for income only. So I've decided that digital patterns is going to be kind of my route, and I'm going to try to focus in on that because I also think a lot of sustainability is teaching you how to make clothing and being able to understand the value of clothing, what it takes to make it, and even just learning to fix things yourself and hem them and alter them or whatever, I think is a huge part of it all. And it's a part that I feel like I haven't tapped into enough in the past like year, because I did for a hot minute make a lot of like Fashion Design 101 series tutorials and stuff, and they did really well, and I just got really tired of making them because it takes so much effort. So I need to get back into it because those did really well. You guys really liked them. And it's just like really good, useful information. And I want to bring value for you guys. So I think that's something I want to tap into a little bit more this year. So be on the lookout for that because I get really nervous about it. But yeah, that's also kind of like a different route I never thought I would take, because I avoided doing digital patterns for the longest time, like years, honestly. People would ask me about it and I'd be like, you know what? No, like these are my designs. Like I don't want to basically give like the blueprint to them away. But also at this point, like I don't want to be making, I don't know, like say baby tees for the rest of my life and like constantly just, I don't know, putting them out when you could also make them yourself. Like, I don't know. I think I've just let go of a lot of, honestly, like ego that I've had. If I'm being very self-reflective, I know I can be very prideful in a lot of things and very stubborn in a lot of my decisions. And in a lot of ways, I think that has helped me get to where I am. But I also think that over the years, I've learned to kind of let it go a little bit, just to like learn from my mistakes and learn from the feedback of others. And I think in all, it just is a lot of my perfectionism, and I don't like to do things if I don't feel 100% about it. But I also think that you can't always feel 100% about everything before going into it. And I've just done a lot of unlearning in the past few years that I think is worth sharing, because I know I'm not the only one that's like very perfectionist about things and like likes to do things their way and has like one set vision and only wants to do that and like has a hard time kind of shifting. But I think one thing about me that I think is good is that I do eventually listen and I do eventually shift. I'm stubborn in a lot of ways, but I do also take time to reflect and think about what people tell me and then act on it. But I do think it's a little bit more delayed sometimes, and it takes me a bit longer to process maybe than most. But I do really think things through before I do them, and I'm very much like a logical person in that way, and I want to do things as correctly as I possibly can. But again, sometimes you just have to jump into it. And I think that's always been my fear with like patterns especially too, because yes, I know how to digitize them, but a lot of it has been just like me like teaching myself. So do I really know how to do it? Same with grading. I've kind of taught myself it. So do I really know what I'm doing? I don't know, but I do, but I don't. So I think the fear of failure there has really held me back for a while, and I just am trying to get over it. I think I've done better in the past like year or so, but I think that I could still improve so much more on that. So We are trying to get rid of our fear of failure together this year. I have no idea how long I've been recording for. Maybe it really hasn't been that long. I could really blabber forever. But today I really just wanted to come back and say hi and say I've missed you and say that hopefully the podcast is coming back in some capacity this year. It is something I really love. I love talking to you guys, and you probably know it from my vlogs. And a lot of times I've just wanted to do like sit down chatting videos, and I'm like, you know what? That could literally be a podcast, Natalia. Like, just wait and do a podcast about it instead. But I love having conversations with you. I love interacting with you in the comments. I love chatting. I like being honest about my life and where I'm at. I never want you to look at my life and be like, oh my God, wow, it's so easy. Like, she just makes clothing and makes videos and makes it by perfectly in LA. Like, it's never that easy. It's never that simple. And I hope to bring transparency behind like what it really takes and everything that I've done to get to where I am, because it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of mistakes, a lot of learning lessons, and nothing has been perfect whatsoever. But I wouldn't change it for the world, because I've had the absolute best time kind of learning all of this, and I've truly had the best few years of my life since moving to LA. It has genuinely been the best decision I've ever made, and I wouldn't have it any other way, even though it is a pain and it's so expensive, and I know I could be so much more well off elsewhere. I wouldn't want to be elsewhere. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. Make sure to subscribe either on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. Leave me a good review on there too. I feel like I don't really check my reviews, but would be kind of fun. Say hi on there. And comment if you're on the YouTube version of this. Let me know what guests you'd want me to bring on or what topics you want me to cover. I'm probably gonna have my friends come on at some point. Like, I'd love to get Megan back on. I'd love to get Lexi back on. So we shall see. But thank you guys for being so patient with me and the podcast. I know a lot of you guys have really wanted it back for some time, and I just didn't have the capacity for it. But hopefully I'll find the capacity for it this year. So thank you guys so much for watching and listening, and I will see you in the next one. Bye!
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.